Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, a special listener-requested topic about the video games that we would like to be made, and, well, a lot of other cool pop culture stuff. But first and foremost, what have you folks been up to?
I got a Nintendo Switch!
Awesome!
Via you.
Oh, because, I knew that.
Amazon did this thing where like only Prime users could buy it at its actual price for like 30 minutes because they were sold out. So I was like, "Cap, buy me one. You got me one. Paid him back, but it's really good. Yeah, thanks." So I got one. I got a Switch, and then I had to go out and buy, you know, spend more money because of the hidden costs of the Switch.
Buying a game? Zelda?
Well, you got to think of it. Every other system that's like ever come out has come with a game generally. This one doesn't, to keep the cost under $300.
True.
But then I started looking to the other hidden costs of the Switch. And I was like, huh.
The wipes.
This seems a bit absurd. You know, you know what? That's not actually as absurd as the things. It's like, you know, the dock that comes with the Switch. If you want to buy one, like it breaks, or you just, for some reason, I don't know why you'd ever need a dock. They're $90. And it is literally a generic, crappy, low-grade piece of plastic, not scratch-resistant, not anything special, with three different like ports in it. A USB-C, an HDMI, and an AC adapter. I looked them all up online, and like the consumer cost for each of those things is like under $5, and they're getting them at like direct factory costs. This thing costs like $10 to make, and they're charging $90.
Because they can.
Not like you need another dock, it comes with it, but like you want two controllers? Well, it's $80 for a controller because they're two and they're $50 each. But if you want a set because they both do completely different things, $80. But wait, that's not all, Doug. You're staring at me like, oh, that's got to be, but that's not
I'm
all.
I'm like, why would you get it at this point?
Yeah, okay, now.
This is why I haven't gotten
it
one.
It comes with this neat.
But you don't need these things at all.
It comes with this neat little thing you can slide both of the remotes into, so it forms like one controller, and it's called the grip, and it's just a little plastic thing, but it works well. Well, there's no port on it to charge the controllers when they die, so you can't keep playing when they die unless you snap it into the actual device. However, they make a grip with a charging port for $30. It is literally the same crappy plastic with a $5 USB-C port on top. That's it. And it's like $30. And like everything they make for the system, if you buy like a second controller and a charging thing for your controller and then your first game, it's already more expensive than like a PS4 or
Xbox
One. Wait,
so the grip doesn't have like a battery or anything built into it? Isn't there like little indicator lights on those? I thought I saw.
No, there are. It just sort of sources some kind of electronic connection from the Joy-Cons.
Oh, it just shoots a little light into it.
I was just assuming things, and I thought that there was like a battery in the grip, and then when you put those little Joy-Cons in there, it would recharge them while you were playing.
You can buy a separate Pro controller if that's what you want.
$80.
Sure.
I'm just saying, if you buy a second controller so you can play with a friend because those tiny things are terrible and don't have full functionality, and then a charging for the thing for them while you're playing, it's already the most expensive system that's like come out. And then you buy a game. So, I mean, it's kind of like if you actually want to get set up legitimately with a Switch, it's going to be more expensive than like a PS4 or an Xbox One.
Set up, what does that mean? Because you buy the
two controllers and the ability to charge your controller instead of sitting them for 3.5 hours at a thing and walking away.
I mean, it kind of comes with two.
But I've never...
No, those don't. They're both completely different functionalities. One has an infrared sensor and one doesn't. And if you want to use a complete game with a second person, you need a full set.
Well, I was explained that most of the multiplayer games you could use just one of the Joy-Cons.
I guess you can, but I really don't want to use one of those for Mario Kart. One tiny little thing that like two of my fingers can hit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. For like Mario Kart or...
which is all that's really...
If they ever come out with a Smash Brothers, I'm going to want one of those
Pro
controllers.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said...
playing around with those
tiny little... $80, and I don't see... I guess the technology must be really great, but like $80 for a controller? Even their regular controllers, if you break one, it's $50 for one of those little nubs.
Yeah, I don't remember WaveBirds being anywhere near that expensive for GameCube or anything.
I mean, WaveBirds didn't have rumble functionality. They didn't really have any features. And they were battery operated.
I understand the Joy-Cons might be expensive because there's a lot of technology in those small things, but like the little charging port they couldn't add on just because they didn't want to make it over
$300. There's not some dumb shit about it. Like there is some dumb shit, but you know.
But other than that, Zelda is the best thing ever. It's the game that I always thought Ocarina of Time would be. And then Ocarina of Time came out and said, wow, this is a really good Zelda game. It's not what I thought it would be. So this is actually the game. When I was reading articles before Ocarina of Time came out, because I'm old, guys, it was like, there's full night and day cycles, and my brain interpreted that as 24 hours to get from one side of the world to the other in real time. So you'd be like riding a horse and camping and fighting bosses, and it's still like you wouldn't even be nearly halfway through the map. Obviously, that wasn't the case. And this game that came out now is like everything I always imagined that game would be, but like 20 years ago. So I'm glad they finally got that shit right. So I'm really happy with it.
It's an incredible game. Yeah. And yeah.
All the things that I keep discovering new things that just like I start climbing a mountain and then it starts raining and I just fall off the mountain, or you tame a horse that throws you into a pit and you die, or you get struck by lightning for no reason. That was fun.
Well, not no reason.
Well, I figured it out after I died. But
Everything's a puzzle.
It's insane.
Why did I get struck by lightning?
Yeah. I was like, why am I glowing? This is really cool. I'm going to get these powers. I'm going to wait and see. Oh, I just died from lightning. That's cool. Anyway, it's a great Zelda game, guys. Just check it out.
How about you, Doug?
I don't know if I talked about this on a previous episode, but I fell down the Ken Burns.
You did not.
Okay, so on Netflix, they released some Ken Burns documentaries. One of them was based on Prohibition, and it was like 3 episodes long. So I'm like, oh, I can watch that. It's only 3 episodes. It's not a big commitment, you know. And I'm always criticizing like other shows for asking too much of my time.
Doug, who's Ken Burns?
Ken Burns is a filmmaker who's made a ton of famous documentaries. You know, like that cliche of like, you know, showing an old Civil War photo and it slowly like zooms in on it and you hear someone reading the letter like, my dearest Margaret.
My dearest Margaret, consumption has taken my best friend.
This dude pretty much invented it, at least as we know it now. And like it's popular because of him. Because
it's called the Ken Burns effect.
Yeah.
The actual technique.
That dolly zooming in thing or whatever on photos and stuff. Anyway, so he did one on baseball, the Civil War, World War II, like all this stuff.
Did he do one on photos?
He should.
That would be...
He should do one about photos. Ken Burns documentaries.
Documentaryception.
So anyway, he did one.
That would be incredible.
That would be incredible. But he did one. It was only 3 episodes, and it was about Prohibition. And I'm like, I don't really know anything about Prohibition other than it happened, people didn't like it, and then it ended. So
that's what it says in the history books.
Yeah, it says, you know, next chapter. You know, in high school they don't really go into it. So I was just like, all right, let me see what this is about. And it was awesome. And it was like a little slow at first because it all paints the context of like why this has to happen. And by the time I finished it, I'm like, that's like crazy, and I feel educated on this thing I didn't know anything about. And wow, that it's like it really echoes our times. Like, you know, we think like
with marijuana, got it.
Yeah.
Not even just with marijuana, but just like with politics. And I'm not going to go into the politics of it. I'm just going to say that it's like the types of fake news, you know, and all these things. Like, this is seriously an echo. Like the same arguments that are being made today that you're hearing from people you know, it's like almost identical to something that happened decades and decades ago.
I mean, when you first brought that up, I was like, well, in a few years we'll probably look back and be like, oh, well, we lived through like marijuana prohibition. So.
and again, it's not even about just the prohibition of one substance. It's about like the politics of the time. And anyway, so it's really interesting. And then I'm like, okay, wow, you know, thumbs up, I like that. And then it's like, hey, would you like one about the Roosevelts? And I'm like, all right, what do I know about the Roosevelts? FDR, he was kind of cool, right? I mean, you know, World War II. All right. Then, but Teddy Roosevelt, I know some people said he was like a real dick. So I don't know if I want to read more.
Which one was
more
in the wheelchair?
FDR.
That's FDR.
You can make fun of him. He can't fight back. It's cool.
Well, I mean, I went in with the impression thinking this is, I'm going to think this, like, that's the default cool dude. And Teddy Roosevelt, although he's cool, you know, whatever. maybe he's kind of a jerk. I don't know. But anyway, I start watching. I'm like, oh, 3 episodes. Again, I can do 3 episodes. That's no problem. After I finish the third episode, Netflix pops up and says, do you want to continue watching? And I'm like, what do you mean? There's three episodes. And it's like, no, there's seven episodes. And I'm like,
Roosevelt.
Yeah. And it's Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, and Eleanor Roosevelt. It's actually all three of them. And without taking way too long to just retell you the whole story, it was
Please do.
Yeah, I know.
Episode one. All about the Roosevelts.
Speak
please.
Softly, it's actually, carry a big stick.
It's actually really awesome because I went into it being like, oh, Teddy Roosevelt, I don't know if I'm going to like him because he's kind of like, you know, the jock. He's kind of a bully. You know,
and he came out of it a rough rider.
Bully is his catchphrase. So, but then I start watching and I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually really sympathize with this guy now. And I understand it now. I get it. I get why this guy's like remembered and why he's important. And then they start talking about FDR because he comes after. And I'm like, I think I hate this guy. Like, it completely, like, I was like, do I? Oh my gosh, I don't like, he's, I'm finding very little to like about this guy. And then all of a sudden polio happens and the dude turns his life around. Like, it's crazy.
He gets polio or just happens to the world.
He gets polio and then he changes.
Turns into a better person.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, we do need healthcare for everyone. Wait, that's what I meant.
Why did we cure polio then? If it has that sort of a transformative effect on people.
It had that transformative effect on one man.
Do you know why we cured polio?
I think we need a larger sample size.
We cured polio because the president caught polio. That's why.
I'm sticking to it. Yeah, he wasn't president when he got it.
New initiative. Yeah. Give the president AIDS.
Or polio.
And heroin addiction. Yeah.
But the lesson that I've learned.
And global warming.
And I'm not even finished with the series yet, but the lesson that I'm continually learning is, as soon as I figure, I get what that person's about. No, like something happens in their life, tragedy strikes, something happens, and then they change. Same with Teddy Roosevelt. His life is going on one trajectory, a tragic event happens, he becomes a better person. And it's like, then he does something shitty. I'm like, I guess he wasn't really a better person. Then another tragedy happens, and then he becomes an even better person.
You're people forget tragedy after a while. When the pain goes away, you're like, I remember I used to
these
be an
people
asshole.
Don't. So I highly recommend it. If anyone's interested in like trying to learn more about things they didn't talk about in school and making history feel like relevant, they're totally cool,
and they're all on Netflix.
Yeah, so get them now while you can.
Who knew Netflix could be so educational?
I didn't. Why I'm surprised. That's why I'm binging it.
How about you, Boar?
Interesting thing that happened to me lately is I'm generally not a huge fan of MOBAs or mobile, what is it?
I know what a MOBA is, but I couldn't tell you what it stands for.
Multiplayer online battle arena, I believe.
Or base. Is battle.
Like,
yeah.
Like Quake or something?
Like League of Legends, Dota.
Yeah, and multiplayer online battle arena.
Yeah, okay. The one that I've been getting into
also
lately,
known as ARTS, Action Real-Time Strategy.
Whatever.
I
don't know. I disagree really? With that.
I've never heard anybody call them that.
That's Wikipedia.
Real-time
strategy. It's got an AKA.
I mean, I would consider that to be like StarCraft.
But that's just a real-time strategy, not an action real-time strategy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Whatever.
How's Quake?
But Heroes of the Storm dropped their 2.0 update where they pushed out like a couple of new heroes, a new map, Overwatch style, where you've got like a payload that you have to escort, so it changes up the gameplay of Heroes of the Storm a little bit.
I think you mean Team Fortress style.
Original Team Fortress didn't have payloads, so Team Fortress 2 did, I guess. Anyway, they pushed out this 2.0 update. They added in the random loot boxes because they saw how well they were working out for Overwatch, and they're like, hey, we're not making enough money the other way. Let's change it into random loot boxes. People really like those, and they really like skins, so they added a crap load of skins and new cosmetic items, and they added in sprays for some reason.
The fuck is a spray?
Like
an Axe body spray?
Like you spray on the wall your tag.
You can tag services with stuff. I haven't even figured out how to do it in Heroes of the Storm.
I thought that game was like an overhead down looking view.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Oh, why do you
like
spray?
I said, I haven't even figured out how to do it, but they're there now for some reason. But they also did some new tie-ins with Overwatch and World of Warcraft where they're like incentivizing you to play Heroes of the Storm with your friends, and if you play five games with your friends in a week, you unlock new skins and fun stuff in Overwatch and or World of Warcraft. Lately, the push has been Overwatch for this 2.0 update. So all of my friends lately that also play like Overwatch and World of Warcraft have been wanting to really play Heroes of the Storm so they can unlock the stuff for the other games. So
you're like, oh, I don't want to play Heroes of the
Storm. So I've been playing at the bare minimum about five matches with friends on Heroes of the Storm per week so I can unlock all the stuff in Overwatch. And I don't know, there's just been sort of like a renewed interest in general, because even after they meet that quota, some of my friends have been like way more interested in it. So I've been kind of roped into that. And
no one can force you to do anything you don't want to do, Boar.
That's true. But you can be
unless
roped in.
Unless they have
in.
A gun. Oh, I guess you can be roped in.
With a lasso.
Yes.
Yeah, but other than that, I've been playing, I bought Prey.
How
is
that?
Cool game.
I really wanted to know, like, if it's
do
as
we
good
want
as...
to talk about that now, or do you want to save
yeah,
it for
yeah,
eat, pray, love. Right?
Yeah.
Prey is really good so far. I've only played it a little over like 2 hours, maybe closer to three. But it's pretty much, in a nutshell, BioShock in space.
Do you like, remember who makes it?
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
I can't remember who makes it.
Bethesda?
I think it's Bethesda that distributes it at least.
Yeah, Arkane Studios. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, it's basically just BioShock in space. You're trapped in this floating space station that orbits the moon, and a bunch of crazy stuff starts happening. You have modifications to your body, kind of like plasmids, only this time they're more
space nids.
Yeah. they're not space nids, but they're just they're technology oriented. It's like
cybernetic
these,
or just
they're brain neuromods. So it's like it kind of looks like a little gun that you shoot into your eye and these little tendrils go in and modify your brain.
Okay, so I was very confused when you said you were playing Prey. I was because I was like, maybe he just picked up an older game.
Oh, but okay. No, it's a reboot.
It's a reboot. It's a remake of the 2006.
It's not a remake. It's a reboot.
Okay. In 2006, there was a game called Prey.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that, actually.
And this one actually is intentionally a spiritual sequel to System Shock, the game that
yes.
became BioShock.
Yes.
Okay, weird.
Wait, did you say this is a sequel to System Shock?
Spiritual sequel.
Oh, fuck. I might have to... What
just
about
like
System?
BioShock was
but
a spiritual
it,
sequel
it, it
to
It plays
System
a lot
Shock.
More like BioShock and Dishonored.
I was like, if it was like System Shock 2, I'm buying it today.
It...
Do you have to hack cameras, but you don't have enough skill points to get hacking skills up?
Yes, there is a lot of stuff like that. There's actually probably more interesting stuff like that too. The skill trees that you can get, you can hack into various, like you can hack through doors or into various parts of computers that are like locked up. There's like repair. You can repair robots or turrets that you find, kind of like you didn't. I guess they kind of did that in BioShock, but that was, I guess that was under the blanket of hacking in that one.
I would really like a space game where your repair skills can be reused for it, repairing anything. Like you have a broken toilet, you can repair it and get experience. Just repair a pipe in the wall.
I have another question.
Handyman Space Simulator?
Yeah. Great. Oh, that would be really good. Can we get...
Is
that's
it
going to
be about 2006
fantasy.
Prey?
No. Oh. No. It, based on the teaser trailer at E3 last year... it was described as a space horror version of Groundhog Day. Is this an accurate description?
Well, like I said, I'm not too far into it, but so far there was one moment like that so far, but it's hasn't been a recurring thing.
Wait a minute. Isn't every video game like Groundhog Day? You die and then you go back and you just do it again until you get it right.
But I think this you die kinda, maybe as part yeah. of this
well,
story.
Well, maybe this one has
and then only when you finally get it right.
The difference is you're in this
repair the
this,
toilet, kill that enemy, or else you can't proceed.
The space station, and when you are when you respawn, Sonny and Cher plays, and that's really the
only difference.
Yeah, that's what makes.
Because I mean, there's so I'm having flashbacks to older games where I'm like, all right, I know the enemy's going to come out there. I know the enemy's going to come out there, so I'm going to wait here and do this, and that's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, and then you die, you wake up, and
you do it again.
You, babe.
Someone needs to make like a Fallout mod where that happens, where every time you die and you wake up in a bed,
plays.
That starts.
But I did actually play the 2006 version, which is totally different.
Okay.
I mean, I guess some parts of it there's parallels because there was like aliens, but in that one you played a space Native American.
Turok.
So there was
got
like
it.
A lot of
oh shit,
Native American themes.
That game?
Yeah, that was Prey.
Oh, okay. Now it's starting to, okay.
So what does this have to do with that at all? Is it just the same name?
I'm pretty sure it just has like aliens
and like, space.
I don't know. It doesn't. So far, I haven't seen anything that's similar other than there's aliens.
Are you the prey of
something? One thing that's sort of interesting is that the main aliens that I've run into so far are mimics, like straight up
treasure chests that turn into.
They're not
teeth
treasure chests, but they can take the form of any object that is around. Sometimes you'll see them in their normal, like they kind of look like pitch black, sort of hazy. Head crabs, kind of, only like really stretchy
it's like
and weird.
That red then, dwarf episode, Polymorph.
But then sometimes you'll see them kind of like crawl off, and then they'll like just turn into a coffee cup or something.
You see a coffee cup just appear there, and you're like, "What?"
Well, they'll usually copy something that's nearby. So sometimes, like if you see two trash cans and one of them's like knocked over, you probably want to shoot the
trash.
So
they won't turn into a person. Where like you're chasing a monster, an alien around the corner, and all of a sudden this guy like, "Hey, I'm just me, Greg," and he walks by.
I haven't encountered a lot of live people yet.
Bleep, blah, blorp. I don't know what's going on in that game.
But I guess if you're really the type of person,
that guy knows all the latest space slang. Bleep, blah, blorp, Greg.
Bleep, blah, blorp. TGIF.
If you're the type of person that gets really like scared by games, I guess, or paranoid about them. You might get a little paranoid that you're walking past shitloads of mimics or something.
I actually think that's really cool. They can turn into... Is it just random what they turn into, or is it like predetermined?
Well, like I said, usually they're copying other objects that are nearby.
So if you like kind of like punch one and then he freaks out, will they turn into like something else?
Well, if you shoot them while they're in object form, you get like a sneak attack bonus because they weren't expecting it.
Because they're going to try to kill you as soon as you walk by, pretty much.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, sounds really... Usually they... And sometimes, like, if you're just walking around too loud and there's a bunch of them in the area, they'll just start walking around on their own. Like, not as objects, but as their weird spiders.
Because they're not scared of you or whatever, because there's strength in numbers.
Is there multiplayer?
Right, yeah, but if they get scared, they seem to, like, scuttle off and take the form of an object. So if you see one and it runs off, you're like, oh, shit, where
Please
is
tell
it?
Me there's multiplayer where people can be the aliens is. And, like, disguise themselves as trash cans.
No.
Because this is exactly what Dark Souls 3 multiplayer turned into for me. There's a skill that lets you turn into just random objects, and I just got that. I would invade people's world and turn into like a chest or a vase, and they would just run by you for like 20 minutes, and you just slowly edge toward them and then just jump out and murder them.
I have seen videos of people doing that, and I love it.
You have no idea where they are.
Do you know that there's a Team Fortress 2 mod called Prop Hunt that's pretty much like that? Only like one team can turn into random objects, and the other team is all... they're pyros, so they have a flamethrower and they have to try to find the objects.
It's so much
fun. But they
fun.
Have very limited amount of napalm to like shoot at
so
things.
They have to be very careful.
So they have to like look for clues, like what's out of order, because you can't just go around shooting fire constantly.
That's true.
So that one's pretty interesting. Like pretty much the props just have to like get unnoticed.
So if you see a coffee cup
game.
In the middle of the floor, you're like, well, that's probably a bad guy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's actually.
But anyway, so
really
far,
cool.
Prey. If you like Bioshock or Dishonored,
or the other Prey.
if anybody even played that,
I did.
Now it's Prey.
So you remember the space Native Americans?
Yeah. Okay. It was like Fire in the Sky, but with Dances with Wolves, mixed with. To be fair, mixed with Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mixed with Groundhog Day.
Amazing. And yes, it's P-R-E-Y, Brandon, not P-R-A-Y.
I was gonna say, where's the church? Where's the like, are you like, I'm about to die, you pray and you get like spiritual powers?
Yeah, it's not like that.
Like that Noah's Ark game that was so good, right?
Yeah.
For NES.
Elder Scrolls, right?
Yeah. Elder Scrolls Prey edition.
Well, later this month I'm gonna be at MoogFest May 18th through 21st. That's in Durham, North Carolina. It's a symposium of
home of Durham wheat. Sorry, they are.
Okay.
It's a real thing? Is that just a brand?
Yeah, Durham.
Or is that a special...
It's a type of wheat. Learn your spaghetti. They probably don't talk like that.
It's a symposium of science, technology, and music. Awesome bands at night and awesome symposiums during the day. The people who run the Large Hadron Collider is going to be there, like teaching a master class. And
wait, what? Yeah. They're the ones from Sweden because we never built one because we suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's actually pretty cool.
I mean, we have colliders here.
Yeah, not the
big.
Large Hadron Collider.
That's true. Yep. There is that only one.
Smashing gold particles,
those.
Making them black holes.
AI's developments and all kinds of different stuff. It's incredible. Expect a full report. And I've been trying to get a lot of projects done before then. And then every so often something happens where I end up wasting a bunch of time. Like last night when I was looking for a Dorito bag that I hadn't scanned for the latest episode of Dungeons and Doritos. And then all the bags fell out of the closet. And then I was like, well, shit, either I could stack these up or I could spread them out all over the floor and figure out just how many bags we're at right now.
Have you kept every single bag people have like sent you? Or
yeah, every bag of a Dorito that we've eaten during the recording of Dungeons and Doritos since 2009.
How many bags?
243 individual bags with a total of 86 flavors.
Wow, that's pretty. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was talking earlier about how the Call of Duty ones, even though I don't really care about Call of Duty, were my favorite flavor.
Battle Black Pepper Jack. Yeah,
so good.
Well, I made a photo of all of them. I spread them out all over the floor and stacked them into the different stacks, the different bags, and then climbed up on a ladder and tried to press myself against the ceiling to try to get them all in one shot. And eventually it worked out. And so that took about a couple hours in the middle of the night.
I thought there was going to be an injury story in there.
No, just my sleep
Needless
schedule.
To say, one of my feet is now a permanent Doritos bag.
But I made a graphic of it. And if anybody's so inclined, I would love if you passed around this achievement question mark that
if only we had one of those Guardians of the Galaxy bags to add to the collection.
Oh yeah, one of the Guardians of the Galaxy bags that were sold on Amazon. That's a bag that plays the soundtrack. Yeah.
Or the Guardians of the Galaxy one that has a completely different flavor.
Because
no, not that one. That one's easier to get.
Well, if you're in Australia.
Yeah.
But fortunately, thanks to Nerdy Show listener Roy, we're getting that and fried chicken, Southern fried chicken from Australia very nice. Soon. Yeah, thank
what,
you, Roy.
What does Northern fried chicken taste like?
Crap, that's what.
Made in New York City.
Oh. New York City.
Well, or maybe you could say that that's what Korean fried chicken tastes like, and if so, that's the shit.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to say that, but okay.
Okay, whatever. Anyway.
Wait, do you not like Korean fried chicken?
No, I like Korean fried chicken.
Okay, I was just wondering where your
I get
attitude
the Korean fried
from
chicken
there.
Every time I go to Domu. That's how good it is.
Do you like chicken fried steak?
Yeah.
What about chicken fried chicken?
Chicken fried chicken's even better. It's double chicken. It's chicken like in a chicken fry batter.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can get chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken.
Huh. Well, speaking of garbage food, there was a drink that you were drinking, Boar.
Oh, man.
And Brandon...
A fake drink. We told, it doesn't exist.
We told Brandon about it. He thinks that it doesn't make sense. So should I describe it? Should I describe what it is?
Yeah, you guys...
Well, have Brandon describe it when he hands it to him.
Pass that over to
First off, yeah. That's not real.
Yeah. What does that say?
No, pass that one.
Brandon, what does it say?
It says, Mountain Dew, USA. You obviously printed this or something. You have a label maker...
I didn't have anything.
What is this color?
I went to 7-Eleven and I came back with a cold bottle that you think that I fabricated.
I've never seen a drink that looked like puce. But I think so.
That's exactly how I described it the other day.
I think that they think I made up that color.
The three
flavors collide: Code Red, Whiteout, and Voltage. So it tastes like vomit.
I have to admire Boar because he was like, "This looks like it's gonna suck," but I'm drinking it like just to see
the human test. not a significant source of any nutrients whatsoever.
Here,
I'm
going to
crack one open. Did you already describe what the flavor was?
Yeah, it's three different. It's Code Red, Whiteout, and whatever the fuck Voltage is.
If you're not familiar with the branding of Mountain Dew, that's a red Dew, a white Dew, and a blue Dew to create Dew SA, which is purple.
And a doo-doo.
And a little brown.
I didn't know there's a white Dew. I've never seen a white Mountain Dew.
Is it Whiteout? You said
Whiteout. It doesn't look white, does it?
I think it's. Is it clear?
It's like, well, you know, there's like Powerade that kind of looks white, right?
I'm smelling this bouquet. And you know what it smells like? It smells like when you go to a soda fountain, mix every soda, and then put a little bit of tea in it. That's what it smells like.
I was really afraid of it at first. I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible.
It smells like
smell the cup.
Like grape soda.
We're all drinking it now, I guess.
Huh. Okay.
And like I said, like the first time I drank it, I was like, this is better than it has any business being.
Yeah, no, it has no right to be.
It actually tastes like a diluted version of each of the sodas, not like a full strength version. Why did they make this, by the way? Can I ask that? Because I thought you were fucking with me, because I was like, no, Mountain Dew is not going to be stupid enough to put three different flavors in a thing. Call this it, is like, it's like, call it's, it USA. That's dumb no as joke, shit.
This is better than some of the crappy grape sodas I've tasted. Like, there's grape sodas that just try to do the one thing, and it's not as good as this.
Now, the only beef I have with this drink
there's
is
beef
that,
now?
is that they snuck Splenda into it.
It's is got that like, what that weird fucking taste
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it is.
That's how they got the calories so low.
Yeah, it's got less calories than most sodas because they did use sugar. I think they're starting to learn.
Wait, can I see this?
That if you cut sugar with artificial sugar, it makes it not as bad.
They cut the sugar, and yet there's still 45 grams of sugar.
Yeah,
it's in the coloring.
But to be fair, it's the entire bottle, which is like at least 2 cups.
It's so weird.
2.5.
For all of our international listeners, this is not who we are.
Is USA only available in America, or are we shipping it to every country to show how great we are? Like, but only like 10 bottles, like USA.
But I also brought some more of their lineup if you want to go ahead and finish your cups.
Oh, God.
You can try the new Mountain Dew White Label.
You can get the fuck out of
what
here.
What the fuck is White Label? Like, are they breaking into label? Like the friggin' the fine, no, wait, no, let me independently read made Mountain
Brandon,
Dews?
It says on top. Mysteriously exotic dew.
What does that mean? Give me that.
That sounds like
okay.
That sounds like sex sweat.
I'm about to say that sounds like something like if I'm working hard all day.
Guys, are you ready for this?
Like,
are you ready for this? It's mysteriously exotic. Let's take a look at its exotic ingredients. You have carbonated water. Ooh, exotic. Sugar. Oh, white.
Oh, that
white,
is exotic in a soda.
White grape juice. That's a little bit exotic
for a soda.
That there's actually any juice in here. Citric acid's pretty exotic. Natural flavor, sodium benzoate. Yeah, it's a
that's pretty exotic.
How? Let me compare this to the USA.
Have you tasted that yet?
Water. Yeah, I have.
And
if I see something weird, like a weird new soda, especially if it's Pepsi or
is that the same
Mountain
ingredients?
Dew, I'm going to
just mix it. Just throw it in there. Just mix it.
Come on, finish it off.
Oh Jesus!
You gotta get a clear.
I'm gonna be a
clear sample.
Cleanse the palate.
Right. Here's the spit cup.
Yeah, I've made a spit cup.
All right, give me some. Give me some white dew. Some white doo doo. All right, it's enough. That's enough. I'm not supposed to drink
white
any
label.
Sodas. Oh God, it looks like when you had too much water and then you pee, but then you also come a bit.
Oddly specific.
Does it come with the aching muscle spasm related
smells,
to that?
It smells fruity.
This tastes like fucking Sprite.
Yeah, this is my least favorite of all of them.
It's not bad, but
it
it's also
taste it tastes like a just Sprite straight up.
Tastes like Sprite mixed poorly.
Yeah, like they didn't put the spoon in all the way when they mixed the vat.
Like
in the big wooden ore.
Can you just flag down the waitress and tell her that there's not enough syrup in the machine?
The Sprite is not mixed properly.
Okay, I know what this tastes like. This is like, imagine, you know, Country Time Lemonade. It's that grotesque yellow powder that turns into a lemonade-like substance. It's like, what if there was a Sprite version of that?
Yeah.
A powdered Sprite.
Yeah.
And someone mixed the Sprite.
Yeah.
And that's what this tastes like.
Like the way when Ecto Cooler was gone for like 20 years and then people are making homemade Ecto Cooler and it tastes great.
You think like this is like a homebrewed
Sprite? This is like
Sprite.
A homebrewed Sprite. If Sprite was outlawed.
All right, I do have to give
be
this.
Like, oh, this takes me back to Sprite.
I
back
do have
when
to
we
give
it
like,
in the 90s when I was a kid.
I do have to get crafted. It says crafted, by the way. Fuck you. I do like that.
By artisans, Brandon.
I do like White Label better than USA, not because of the flavor, because the flavor is shit, but because they're
the
using.
The can looks great.
They're using real sugar. At least it says sugar, whereas USA is just
Splenda.
Yeah, well, USA is straight up high fructose corn syrup. This at least has sugar in it.
That's true.
So,
all right, and now I've also got Black Label. So let's get a sample of Black Label out to you guys. This one is
what's $20 a can for Black Label?
It is dew crafted with dark berry. I feel like I've brought this on the studio before.
Why are you caffeinating me? Do you know what I do normally? And now you're putting caffeine in me.
The slogan says. Deeper, darker dew.
You need to see a doctor if you've got deeper, darker dew.
Oh, doc, my dude's getting deep and dark.
Or do they have
deep
a,
and dark.
Do they have another drink where
is
they mix black
dank?
And white label?
What? No.
Do they mix black and white label?
It used
We're going
to
do that right here.
Fairly exotic, but now it's just deep and dark.
This tastes like what I imagine that weird oil in the X-Files is that goes in people's eyes.
This one is actually my favorite. the dark berry, whatever the hell that means. Let me see if they have it.
Okay, this is actually great. I mean,
this is the most different.
Yeah, this one has grape juice concentrate and miscellaneous flavors, like, orange juice, and
this tastes like.
Did you just say miscellaneous flavors?
Yeah, basically,
well, it's little bit of the anal gland of a beaver, and natural flavor.
But the it's like carbonated juice.
Oh well, they do use sugar.
Black Label is delicious, and I highly recommend it to anyone.
They do use real sugar in this one. So the label ones, the black and white label ones, at least have real sugar.
Now, I'm not done with the label ones because I brought green label.
What the fuck?
I really don't think I should drink any more, but I guess I will. Is it pickle? Pickle juice?
Wait.
I wish you could see his face. Have you had this before?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
The tagline for this one. Wait. The tagline for this. Curiously Daring Do.
That sounds like someone's name in like the 50s. My name is Curiously Daring Do.
Yeah. Crafted Green Apple Kiwi.
What does it mean crafted? It was in a fucking vat.
I don't fucking know, but we're going to taste it.
Well, crafted means, if you say have a craft cocktail, that means that someone's mixing it by hand. There's no
Are we going to mix all the labels together and get the European Dunion?
Wow, this one.
I hope France doesn't drop out of the Dunion.
Doug, I'm way ahead of you because I did make a spit cup over here, and I've been only sampling, so we could.
Is that a commentary about
now? Most people can't see how green this is, but it's like electric green.
That's like neon green.
This tastes like green Skittles.
That is no shit, like antifreeze.
Yeah,
that's antifreeze green.
Actually, I bet if you diluted a little antifreeze, it would look very similar.
This tastes like a hint of Lysol.
This is a good time. No.
It's Lysol.
No.
And green Skittles.
I'm extremely critical of when something has citrus flavoring and then smells like a cleaner. And you can tell that I've been drinking soda with caffeine in it because the speed of my voice is accelerating rapidly. I do not consume this substance very often, if at all.
Does anyone know what ester of rosin is? I'm pretty sure rosin.
I'd like to meet her.
Rosin.
No!
Bazing. Rosin is something I use on like stringed instruments, so I don't know why you're drinking it, but I guess it's edible.
This is like an old Jolly Rancher.
Like the one you find on the bottom of your couch.
Why does it specifically have to be old?
Because it's thin.
It's fermented. It's crafted.
It's thinner and
it tastes like the plastic has still melted into it. You're eating
kind
some of
like
the plastic.
If you had a tropical, for some reason, Jolly Rancher, but also a sour apple Jolly Rancher at the same time.
To me, it's like a sour apple Jolly Rancher that's been in your car.
All right, are you guys ready now for the Dunion? We're going to do...
Wait, I'm not done yet.
Are you kidding me?
More. Another label?
I brought new Mountain Dews. There's still more.
Have you had this one?
Yes.
What is this? I'm going to assume Red Label.
I actually... they have another series that's called...
Oh, God.
It's called Spiked Lemonade.
I really hate my life.
It's Mountain Dew Spiked.
I don't know if I can continue.
Are you a salesman?
Let me. Raspberry lemonade spiked with prickly pear cactus juice. That's
not
spiked.
Walk around with this in your briefcase.
Good evening, madam.
It says non-alcoholic. That's not spiked.
Do you prefer Daring Dew or something more exotic?
Well, now, they have two flavors of this Mountain Dew Spiked. There's regular lemonade, and then there's raspberry lemonade.
Give me your cups, everyone. I'm now
give
the bearer.
A little bit more than that. You barely gave me a...
Yeah, but you've had it before.
Well, so what? It's a giant can.
I'm going to be the bearer of bad ooze.
That green one smelled foul. I'm sorry.
Unlike Cap, I'm fueled by caffeine.
I really enjoyed the green
one. Cap.
No, wait. That's yours.
Sorry. So this is a red one that's spiked with prickly pear juice.
I'd like to point out, the last several, except
cactus.
For the Black Label, have all smelled the same.
To me, the green one smelled the worst.
This one tastes like if you left
the heck is going on here?
Outside in the rain for like an hour.
It is raspberry spiked lemonade.
What?
I have no clue what this flavor is. It is none of those things.
Kino, what?
Have you ever had prickly pear? Because that's what the flavor is.
Oh.
This tastes like something I'd imagine would be on quinoa.
No, I didn't get the regular lemonade.
It's cactus juice,
it's kind of similar, except for it doesn't have the little raspberry flavor
cactus.
To it.
Huh.
But they have the regular lemonade
at
Taco Bell's. So if you want to try the regular spiked Mountain Dew lemonade, they've got it at Taco Bell's. Otherwise,
alongside the actual toilet cleaner, Baja Blast.
I actually really like Baja Blast.
You're a strange animal, Boar, and I respect that.
Do you please tell me you have no more?
All right. Well,
I don't think I can handle
this.
That's
all I've got.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Can we now combine all four of the labels?
No, just the label ones.
Just the labels.
The spiked is...
Oh, no. This brown liquid that I have
Black
in this
label,
cup here is... it is
green label.
It is all... It is everything.
And white label.
We're creating brown label?
All right, no, you're going to have to do your own.
It's the European Union.
Here you go, guys. All three labels. So black, white, and green.
I can't see the color. So it looks like diarrhea.
Here's a fun fact. If you combine any three dudes, they all taste like USA.
Hold on.
We'll be able to confirm that fact in just a few moments.
Also, I've been drinking tea in this cup that I ended up turning into a reservoir. And so it has like, you know, sort of a brown ring on it.
It looks like USA.
From lots of tea. And I just like to point out that the presence of Mountain Dew in it has started to make that peel off like a film.
Guys, my head hurts really bad. I haven't had this much
joke, that
caffeine.
Does taste like Dew SA. I'm not even kidding.
I haven't had this much caffeine.
I thought you were exaggerating. It actually tastes just like Dew SA.
You know, the color looks similar, too.
That's what I just said. It's like, this is...
You know, you could save a lot of money by just buying Dew SA instead of three different labels.
Dew SA and the European Union. It's the same. We're all the same, man.
We're all the same. This is just like the end of Volcano.
What? End of Volcano?
Yeah, you know, I don't think this one tastes like Dew SA. I'm not with you on that.
I hope the European Union isn't like USA.
Tommy Lee Jones, Volcano, shitty disaster movie. Out of nowhere, there's this one scene where all of Los Angeles is covered in ash, and everyone emerges from the ash.
Oh, God, and the kid, the little kid is like...
And this little kid says out of nowhere, there's like, hey, this isn't just a disaster movie, this is a message.
Everyone's gray, and he's like...
Everyone looks the same.
And then my eyes rolled so hard, I have been blind since then. They're in the back of my head still to this fucking day. And then, you know what I did?
I blocked that out. I don't remember that.
You know what I did after that scene? Turned on Dante's Peak. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Count same time.
Oh,
Pierce Brown.
Anyway, if you want to help me finish these off for the rest of the show,
no. Mm-mm. You know, you just gave me a bunch of caffeine, right? I haven't been on caffeine for like months.
I haven't been on caffeine for years.
I can't wait. This is great.
Wait, I did have doctor.
I can't wait. All right. Coming back from that wonderful song break.
Oh, my head, my eyeballs hurt so much.
We got to give shout outs to the wonderful people who make this show possible.
Mountain Dew. Thank you.
Oh, God. Don't send any Mountain Dew.
Come on, we support USA.
Please.
If
just sipping a little bit of Mountain Dew makes you guys that hyper, I'm kind of jealous because
you need to drink two
little cans of this before I feel anything.
You need to take a Dewcation because you had too you had too many Mountain Dew. Like you've had it so much, your body just doesn't care anymore. You need to stop doing it for a month.
I do.
It's like I need to switch to
coffee and then come back like a month later.
Switch to coffee.
Do they make a coffee dew?
I'm pretty sure that would coffee be the same
beans.
Thing.
Is there a Mountain Dew infused with coffee beans?
No.
Aww.
You could create it.
No, I can't.
We could do that. Do you want to do some mad science experiments? I even got a carbonation machine.
No. We're gonna buy a cold brew slow dripping filter.
I've got that too.
13 hours.
We could do this.
We'll have it drip. We're gonna have it drip directly into a bottle of Dew SA.
No, you gotta get that press.
We're gonna do cold.
I've already envisioned how we would do this. We'll do the cold press method.
Yeah.
Right. We'll grind up the beans
for like 13 hours. Well,
instead of water, we just substitute Mountain Dew, and then it just infuses over about a 24-hour period, and then at the end you just filter that out, and then we'll probably have to recarbonate.
Do you actually have a cold brew machine?
Yeah.
Why?
Cold brew coffee.
Okay, I thought Mountain Dew was your caffeine choice.
No,
it has no effect.
Very rarely drink Mountain Dew, but these are interesting, so I bought them and brought them.
Okay, well then you're in charge of making the. We need a good name for the Dew coffee because there's nothing that sounds good.
Dugatti Veyron.
No, that's a no.
No, you come on, guys. This is easy.
Dewspresso.
Morning Dew.
Yeah, you get it, Doug. You win.
Good to the
I don't think it's funny enough, but I'll go with it.
Okay, we are entirely listener supported and some very kind, very generous, very
despite
wonderful people
the heavy advertising
who believe what we do.
I don't endorse any of these drinks, take that.
They support us on Patreon, and we have a new patron. We've got to celebrate that new person's joining us here into this my words are not sentences yet club. Brandon, what's this fine person's name? Please inform. Thank you.
New patron, Keto Wong Clayton.
Welcome, Keto.
Welcome.
And you know, you can support us by Patreon. Jesus H. Christ. You can support us by donating.
I think you need to do more do.
Oh, it's going to even out?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I thought you couldn't have taffy.
You're like,
I can't.
Oh, what have you done?
No, you got to be like Wally West, where you're shaking so much, and then you got to add more until the shakes like reverses it.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I have literally, like 7 years.
Why did you agree to this?
I wanted to be a good sport.
Oh, there's like 83 grams in each thing.
You did the do.
Anyway.
You should do some extreme sports right now.
This is exactly the perfect time to go snowboarding.
Woo. Yeah, all right. In Florida.
In May.
Patreon.com/nerdyshow. That's where you can find all the tiers to support us, all the bonus perks, all kinds of extra material there. Early releases at any level. Anytime you donate, you get it when it's available. But also, you can support us on Amazon. You can buy stuff on Amazon. You can probably buy these really, let's say, quote-unquote, interesting Mountain Dew flavors on Amazon. And if you can, I'll link to them on this episode's page.
Next time, I'm going to bring interesting Pepsi flavors because there's about four new ones of those.
In my experience, Pepsi does not branch out.
There's a black currant 1893 Pepsi now.
I did not like that one. I tasted that since 18.
Does anyone else have a weird metallic taste now in their mouth?
I just taste a
like they bit a large piece of aluminum.
Completely undiscernible fruit flavor. Perhaps an alien fruit. So
here, have some Bright Side Skittles.
Please wash. I really do need to wash this to here.
Yeah, I was sadly disappointed with that.
There you go, boy. I'm taking every flavor and just.
Marco.
I really like the blackcurrant one.
I mean,
thank you.
It just ain't for me. It's just not for me.
Enough Pepsi. We've done enough. We got to talk about
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
We got to talk about that too. But Dizdon Bates bought some shit on Amazon through our Amazon links. He was kind enough to inform us about his purchases. Here's what he got. Be like Dizdon. Make all your purchases through Nerdy Show. Nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Follower links, bookmarker links. All your purchases give back to us. Easy to do.
And Dizdon says, I bought a Yeti mic at Best Buy. It was on my way home from work. Don't judge me to record better voiceovers for my YouTube Let's Plays, but they didn't have any pop filters. Not asking for a shout out, guys, just saying what it's for. But anyway, we're going to give him a little bit of a shout out because he's a cool dude who uses our links. So if you want to see his videos, just search for Dizdon Plays on YouTube. That's D-I-S-D-O-N-N. I made a pop filter of my own, but I also bought one through your links. But that's not all. My wife is going to be doing interviews for a teaching position, so I bought her a reasonable dress for interviews and a cute accent ring as well, all through your links. Hoping it gives a few bucks your ways. You guys deserve it.
I feel like we need to see pictures of the dress. Like what?
If you'd like to send me a reasonable dress, my size is medium generally, and there's a link to where you can mail products for review at our advertising page. So if you want, I will model your reasonable dresses.
Guys, I'm really interested in people's dresses. I don't know if you know this about me. What the cut is, what the material's made out of. Is it low cut, high cut, short waisted, high waisted? Is it one piece, two, several?
Now, what if somebody sent you an unreasonable dress?
Oh, I already have plenty of those myself, but please do send them. Now, if you're giving to us at $10 or more, that entitles you to one shout out a month. That's via Patreon. Scott John Harrison has provided such a shout out, and it is very important. A public service for all UK listeners.
Yeah, for everyone in the European Union.
You mean everyone in the Brexit?
Public service announcement for UK listeners. Register to vote and vote. The Conservatives won in 2015 and Brexit and Trump happened in 2016 because young people and young nerds didn't vote. This snap election in particular is made to strengthen the Conservative Party majority, which will make most of our lives, especially teens who cannot vote's lives, worse. You have to make sure that you are registered by the 22nd of May. And since the election on June 8th is in the middle of exam season, register for a postal vote, too, if you need it. This election, it is so important to vote out the Conservatives, and because of that, it is important to vote smart. Here is a website for tactical voting in the 2017 general election. www.tactical2017.com. That's tactical as a word and 2017 numerals.com. Go and vote, and don't let 2017 be as bad as politics as 2016 was.
Now, Jeffrey McSorley, clever fellow that he is, has a reoccurring advertisement that is his shout out for purchasing stuff on Nerdy Show because we have a store. We've read it many months in a row. I think everybody in this room has read it at a different point in time. Mm-hmm. Well, I've
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Spiced it up.
Wait, ooh. Can you do that?
Dost thou have olden vestments? Vestments bearing the mark of many an anorak pursuit, but find them riddled with holes and rendered unflattering by moth and girth alike?
Forsooth.
Surely from ages of use or even a particularly dire fortnight of intense activity, you might find yourself improperly clothed in garments that were once fair. Well, fal-de-ral-de-day, doth I have sage advice to bestow upon you.
Prithee!
Discard thine old sodden vestments, or donate them to a charitable pursuit. Forthwith, replace them with nerdy show blouses, hewn from the finest New World fabric, cotton. Nevermore shall you be mistaken for an Italian plumber, but for the king's own disciples of mirth, those swearing fealty to nerdy show.
Hear, hear.
Pledge your undying allegiance to this venerable band of merrymakers and impress your closest compatriots with myriad crests and emblems of your favorite performers, or perhaps the visage of the Thunder Rat. And you shan't forget these garments may also be purchased in sizes befitting your vile spawn. Yes, even those pertaining to programming of lewd smut. Vanquish the ragged clothing from your wardrobe and let it be born anew in the divine light of Nerdy Show. Simply travel for several weeks by mule until you arrive at a cave bearing the mark of nerdyshow.com/store.
Huzzah!
Raise a
huzzah.
Cheer!
Did he say lewd smut?
Chicken chaser!
You chase chickens!
Can you in post put some Baroque music behind there? Behind
you're looking sorry. At the wrong member of Nerdy Show. Mayhaps, young Brandon, mayhaps.
We will ask Alexa to do it.
So, we have another listener request before we get to Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. And that is, we are going to do a microsode. A microsode is where a listener requests us to discuss something for 15 minutes.
And then we usually run over to 30 or 40 minutes.
We'll find out. I'm still stuck in this accent and cannot for the life of me shake it.
Beat it out of him.
It's a good
one. Day.
I think when you go to Moogfest, you should
drink like 12 Mountain Dews before you
yeah,
go.
You should.
More dew. Throw this at Cap.
You should only use that accent. Just see how far it'll take you in life.
All the way is the answer.
They'll look at me and they'll say, "You pathetic ponce. Why are you talking like such an upper class twit? I spit on you."
Wait, why would they talk like that? Why are they talking like that?
No, Cap is just doing the voice.
You know. I thought they were talking to him for doing that voice.
I don't know. I don't know. And it's they.
They.
I'm a they.
Sorry.
"What's your dream game?" asks Joshua Westfall.
you dropped the voice and then got back into it.
"Describe the video game you would most like to see made. RPG, shooter, fighting game, beat 'em up, puzzle game. Describe the character, setting, gameplay, story, whatever you've got.
In 15 minutes, all of us?
I want to hear the amazing game ideas the Nerdy Show crew must be dreaming up." Well, we can save a little time, Brandon, because on this very show, we dreamed up a game not so very long ago. Mm-hmm. Why, I recall that game was called Spider Simulator.
Yes.
How's it cooking?
It's still going. It's slow going because my buddy Alvin, who's actually, you can...
he cranked out a spawn! A sack of babies!
Yes! I mean, but that aside, there were like two or three other games that were in line to be made first, but he does tweak the sort of tech demo that he's doing in his spare time. I even posted a thing on Twitter of like a video of the tech demo of the spiders moving across the floor and stuff, and it was freaky. But that's still ongoing, and maybe we'll do a Kickstarter soon.
Spider Simulator is a virtual reality game. That's not necessary. It's not going to debut as a virtual reality game at first, but maybe Tandem. I don't know.
I thought that was the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, when we finally go public with it, like if we were going to do a Kickstarter, we'll say, hey, here's like a first person experience, like a first person regular PC game, like demo. If you fund this Kickstarter, will we turn it into a VR experience? Is the idea.
So, it's you are a person, and there's spiders everywhere. And someday down the line, those spiders will also be people, provided that the game is successful.
If the game was successful, our ultimate dream would to turn it into a multiplayer experience, kind of like I'd say, I don't know, not necessarily like Left 4 Dead, but
nothing like this has ever existed before.
Yeah, where it's
what about that game Thing.
The Thing?
Yeah.
You mean the adaptation or continuation of the John Carpenter?
Yeah, series? Wasn't there a game like that where some would be weird creatures?
Wasn't multiplayer. Transform?
Yeah, I thought that was a multiplayer one.
I mean, someone
was the creature, but no
one. But
the
thing is that you are human size and the spiders are spider size, and therefore,
when the multiplayer goes live, the people who are playing as spiders are the size of spiders. They're on the tiny little ground perspective and climb up walls and have different powers and
stuff.
Do
you get bigger if you keep, like, the more you attack or eat other spiders, you get bigger?
I don't know. Maybe there could be a gameplay mode like that, sure.
Until you're the size of, the Earth.
It's where it's set in an old cabin in the woods, and you try to find objects to throw at the spiders, obviously, and it's in VR, so you're using the HTC Vive, like, you know, little hand grips or whatever. So, but then you find a little lockbox, and you open the lockbox, and you're like, oh, what's this strange laser pistol? And you're like, okay, I'm going to use it on the spiders. You shoot at the spiders. It's a growth ray!
No!
Oh, that's a nightmare. The whole point was to make it a night. It's really a nightmare simulator. It should be called Nightmare Simulator. It's really what it should be.
You should be trapped in a room, there's no visible exits or windows, and all you know is there's a tiny holes where spiders are coming out of every corner.
That's so whack-a-mole in VR.
Yeah.
But funny, that was not my choice for dream game, though. I mean,
tell me about it.
That's a dream game I want to make, but the dream game that I would want to play would be one that has the action run-and-gun mechanics of Uncharted, but take place in a city that is being trampled by a daikaiju. Just a giant monster that came out of the sea. Doesn't have to be Godzilla. Doesn't have to be a licensed monster. But just the idea of like what Cloverfield was trying to do, but do that in game form, where you are just a simple human running through a city that's great.
I thought they did make a game like that, but I could be wrong. Where there was some guy and it's like a running gun, but there's a huge monster the size of skyscrapers and you're running throughout the city trying to kill it.
Shadow of the Colossus.
No, it was like Resistance or something. No, I can't remember what it was.
Oh well,
I don't know.
But
I would play that.
Well,
game.
Well, it was the game Rise.
Maybe.
Was that the people who made Doom? No.
I can't remember.
I'm sorry. I'm misremembering everything now.
Nah.
But I would like, it doesn't even have to be that you have to kill the giant monster. It's simply escape. Like,
how could you?
Could it be like, could it be like a really cool survival game? Like, go in the skyscraper, scavenge items and weapons. Like, oh, the monster's like actually heading your way. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Go to another
place.
Like
The Last of Us, except the apocalypse is happening because a giant monster is stepping on everybody.
That'd be really cool.
That would be great. That would be absolutely great.
And a good Superman game. that's my
How
dream.
Can you make a good game about someone who's basically immortal?
I could talk about that for an hour, but it wouldn't be a microsode.
maybe later. If you would like Doug to do that, send us some letters.
I will talk all day about Superman at the drop of a hat, so please.
Back in, let's say, sixth grade, fifth grade, a friend of mine got this book on how to program your own video games, and had some kind of Doom looking game on the front of it. So we're like, oh, we're gonna make a video game. So he started kind of learning that stuff, and meanwhile I started like coming up with ideas, and it was mostly just sort of a potpourri of different ideas. It was like the first version of this had like characters from Ninja Turtles. Weird Al Yankovic was a playable character. You could tell my brain was that here. Let me back up. The game in its original form was called The Quest. And then as soon as I started telling my friends about it, they're like, you mean that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie? I'm like, no. Okay. So I changed the name later, but you're like, you're this generic RPG hero. It's a top-down RPG. It looks vaguely... we're going to design it so it looked like Earthbound, not because of how much we loved Earthbound, but because that seemed like an achievable graphic level to get to, not realizing how difficult it actually is to simplify things that much. One of the characters is one of the Animorphs, and... actually two of the characters you play is Cassie and Tobias, and you go down to the sewers and you find Ninja Turtles and then Mona Lisa, the awful character from the animated series, and an action figure, she's in there, and Weird Al Yankovic and Paul McCartney join your party.
I don't know if I'd play this game more than Doug's game.
This garbage game that's full of like childish whimsy developed later on, taking some of the core principles of the actual like relative plot aspects of it into a game that I kind of never stopped working on. And really, I honestly have
the whole time you've
it.
Been describing this, I've been picturing in my head the graphics are just like Adventure for Atari. Like you are a square and you have an
see,
arrow.
Look, that's you and that the yellow one, that's Weird Al. It's like, yeah. Wait, it's a square.
that's exactly well,
that's
what I'm
supposed
picturing.
To be like his bright shirt, like a bright, you know, he wears the colorful, you know.
We're gonna have like a Chrono Trigger style tech system so you can combine powers based on, you know, what who else is in the party. Oh, and Paul McCartney, he was wearing a walrus suit all the time because the walrus was Paul. Yeah. So anyway, that's beside the point. It actually turned, I changed the name to Fantasy Quest, which is still a terrible name, but it turned into this whole large scale multi-game thing. I haven't really worked on it in years, but I'll constantly think about it. Came with a lot of different ideas. It evolved in interesting ways. It's a world where magic exists, but it only exists on, well, but it's not really understood. It's sort of an ancient technology, but then the government discovers that it does like concretely exist. So they start running tests on it and sort of try to do a eugenics program by exposing children to magical objects and inadvertently create this like global terrorist. And that's very bad, so that puts in government restrictions on any practices of this magic. And then there's these little sources of concentrated magic all over the world, and you are a escaped child soldier who has to sort of reunify magic and stop the resurrection of this evil guy. And it's more a collection of interesting ideas than it is actually something that has any concrete story anymore, because I kept rewriting it and never ever finishing it, because that's how it goes when you write something as a kid. You
it
never
almost sounds
finish
like it.
It
needs to be a book. It sounds like a book
that's
pitch,
like Ready
more
Player
than a video
One
game pitch
like
to me.
Potential there.
Maybe someday, but we are actually mining character designs and ideas from it in very small part for Wasteland characters and Lightning Dogs now. So that a little portrait of things to come in Lightning Dogs. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I've had a few game ideas. I don't know if any of them are viable, but one of the things I've regretted over the years, even though it has nothing to do with me, is that there hasn't been a really good Secret of Mana game since Super Nintendo, which it's one of my favorite games of all time. So I often dream up this weird fantasy idea of creating a Secret of Mana sequel, and it would basically take place between two different worlds and two different realities. So let me explain how this game would work real quick. So you are a young boy or girl or whatever to the parents of these two archaeologists. And, you know, they go off and do stupid archaeology shit, whatever, and they take you with them because they're not leaving you. They're homeschooling you because that's why you're so socially awkward. And eventually you go to this island or South America or somewhere, and you end up just wandering off on your own because you don't give a fuck. And you find this weird little dagger that looks kind of like a tree branch with a little dagger point coming out of it, and it starts talking to you. And you find this thing in like the trunk of a tree, and you have no idea what it is. And you kind of hide it from your parents, and you guys go back to America or wherever you're from, and they kind of start hearing you like talk to it and getting worried about you, and you start believing in this thing that's talking to you the whole time. And eventually, I don't have all the details, guys.
That much is clear.
However, well, it's just something I'm just kind of like.
I know.
It sounds like another book pitch so far.
Eventually, you get committed to a mental institution, and because they think you're just completely batshit crazy at this point, because you keep talking to this thing and no one can hear it and no one's there, and you eventually find your way out of the mental institution, escape, find where this little dagger, this mana dagger, as it were, is, and you use it, and this goddess or whatever that's in the sword talks to you, and you cut through reality when people are chasing you down and escape it into the world of Second Densetsu, where you'd be going back
of second what
it's the game Second Densetsu Secret of Mana. But basically, okay, you'd be switching back and forth, going into this world, going into the Secret of Mana world, where it's like a hack and slash, and you get the mana sword, like, gets more abilities, and actually the dagger grows, and you get, like, different abilities, like, the different elements, like, the eight different elements, like, Lumina and Gnome and all that shit. So you'd get, like, say, you'd eventually get one of the mana seeds that has Lumina in it, and then you'd go back to our reality and use it to solve a puzzle. Like in our reality, you wouldn't be hacking and slashing and killing people. There are like police with guns. They will murder you. So maybe you use your element to like put them asleep, or use Gnome to like build a wall to get over something into like a building.
But it's okay to kill mushroom people when you're in
second Denetetsu. That's how that world, that world's a dangerous fucking world. There's just like zombies and mushrooms wandering around trying to kill you. So the premise of the game is you'd be traveling back and forth between two realities, gaining powers in one, and then using that those powers in our actual reality to beat certain puzzles and obstacles to get to your ultimate goal. I don't really know what the ultimate goal is, except that the main bad guy, which is like Thanatos or whatever from the original game, is somehow working the government in our reality from behind the scenes and has slowly acquired, you know, a mass amount of nukes and is trying to start a nuclear war. So at some point you're trying to break into some government somewhere using your powers and stopping him before he starts a nuclear holocaust. And also reviving the mana tree in the other world. So it's like a dual
That's
thing.
A cool game mechanic slash premise thing. Mm. That's pretty rad.
My other game was a game I was going to build completely on hatred, which is just like, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing because it's going to take too long. It's basically...
Is hatred a coding language? Is that?
Yeah, I was like, is that like an engine? Be. Is that like Unreal Engine 3?
It will be what all your abilities and attacks are based on. You're basically hatred. And I'm not going to go into the whole story of everything I thought because it's going to take like 45 minutes because I thought up this one actually. And at some point, you will be... You know how in Final Fantasy Tactics, how you can like hire mercenaries and like soldiers and things? You'd be doing that in this game and you'd have to form real bonds with them. And relationships, and like maybe you could buy one a gift or take one on a date. But
sounds
you,
like a Kojima game.
Side quest.
What style of game? But, I'm having a hard time picturing this already.
Well, I'd have to explain the whole thing. Basically, it's a turn-based
third person, first person.
Yeah, okay, it's a third-based RPG. Random battles. However, the random battles are in a big 3D area. You can run and jump and hack and slash, and then when you're done, it goes back to what you're doing. And you'd form bonds with people along the way. And once you form a really true friendship with them, you get them killed. On purpose. What? Once they die, it makes your hatred meter, like it levels it up, and that's how you get more powerful through the game.
Oh, so the game just dicks with you.
You have to bond with people, like legitimately, and then get them killed. Like either kill them yourself, have someone kill them, sacrifice them.
Wait,
and that
if
will
you have
level
to kill them yourself, why would you
self hatred?
Yeah, self hatred.
I don't know. Well, I can describe the premise of the game, which is that
I hate that I'm doing this. Die, like,
okay.
Sociopath. The game.
For the sake of argument, we'll say you look like a generic ninja person from like feudal Japan, and your entire family gets killed by the shogunate in front of you. You're held down, your mom's tortured and raped.
So then you're like, I'm gonna go out and form some friendships and
your
then
mom,
kill them.
Well, here's your mom and dad
I
are
can't escape the high that gave me.
Your mom and dad are
died.
Killed, your brothers and sisters are killed. You'll form a resistance along the way to get to the shogunate. They'll all get killed. You get to the shogunate, try to kill him. He basically murders you, throws your body out of a window, you fall on rocks, die, whatever. You go to hell, because that's where all people go.
All ninjas go.
You go to hell and find out that the shogunate was actually movie. The reason you couldn't kill him, and I don't want to get into details, he's actually this weird cybernetic robot thing built by this blacksmith in hell, infused with like demon flesh and powers, so you had no chance of winning. And you eventually use his help to escape from hell, and you get all these powers and you make these deals, but the only way to get more power to get your revenge is to kill people you form bonds and friendships with. So as you kill, you actually legitimately have to use characters like two or three at a time, form relationships, go on quests with them, do missions, and then have them die. So you won't be friends with anyone.
I feel like if you're going to be forming a relationship with somebody just to sever it, that's not going to be a very solid relationship, and you're not going to get very much power out of it.
It's going to be emotional. It's going to be emotional.
Can you just go befriend the main bad guy?
No.
And then kill him.
I mean, it sounds like you're just going to have really hollow relationships for the rest of your life.
And maybe that's what, you know, that would end up happening.
Much hatred other than like, oh man, I hate that I'm
perhaps,
doing this.
Well then perhaps it's not hatred. I don't know. You'll just be forming these really, really close bonds with people to get them to really like you and to love you. And then when they like reach a certain level of like, they really admire and like you, you kill them. And that levels your skill system.
Now it sounds like American Gods.
Okay, I mean it might be, but basically that's how you level up like your main like meters,
like your betrayal of them is what
you have to sacrifice or kill people that have followed you and have bonded with you, that you guys have bonded with, and that levels your skills. And eventually you'd go to like all the different continents who are all have these leaders that are all like these robot demon flesh things that you can't possibly kill until you build up enough power and stuff like that. So I thought about that one for a little bit too. And for some reason the main character looks like Ninja Gaiden from the Ninja Gaiden
reboot. I thought you were going
to
say
that's just what he looks like. I don't know why.
I thought you were going to say
he just looks like a ninja. The random ninja.
The main character looks just like me. I don't know why.
I don't know why. Murdering people. No, but it just looks like random generic.
A ninja. Couple things. If I went to the folders where I keep all of my old art, I actually have some things where I was also working on a sequel to Secret of Mana. Just character redesigns, no concept. And like, I don't know.
I just thought it'd be cool to use it, but not a purely action game, but like in our reality to like solve puzzles and things.
I think it's interesting that when you guys talk about like the games you would want to make when you were like younger, like in high school, it's like RPGs, usually like top-down kind of RPGs.
Because that's what we played all the time.
And I guess so, because I didn't play any of those. I always wanted to do a point-and-click, like LucasArts adventure, because that's the stuff that I was playing. Very boring in comparison. Like, oh, I'm going to go open up that cabinet, see what's in there. All right.
So you're a big like fan of Sierra games and stuff like that?
All the King's Quest, except for me,
it was all it was the LucasArts adventure games, like Fate of Atlantis was a big one for me.
You know, it's really weird. I played a lot of point and click adventures, but all of them were Sierra. Like, I never touched a LucasArts one.
They were the best
for some reason.
Sierra was like top of the game. The only LucasArts one I remember is what, like Day of the Tentacle and Grim Fandango.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah.
I think that's all I can think of.
I had the original RPG Maker for PlayStation. which was extremely difficult to use.
Yeah,
and the limitations in a lot of ways were actually kind of inspiring, because you had to work so hard to make anything happen. And then my house was broken into when I was in high school, and they stole the PlayStation, and actually everything that the burglars
took, so like the save
took
card and everything,
was actually kind of very strange, because there was a PlayStation 2, but instead it was the PlayStation that got pinched, and there was
collectors.
There was a whole closet full of DVDs, but instead they took the stack of extremely rare VHS tapes by my TV. I don't know.
That's weird. That sounds like someone who knew you personally.
A time traveler is what I think.
It's you from the future.
I know.
Well, right? Don't worry, because someday
I want it so bad. I'm gonna go back in time and steal it before they steal it.
I gotta steal these things for myself.
I was working on a game where I don't remember much about it. It was a comedy RPG. I remember that
it was a sitcom.
It starts with two princesses meeting up in the woods, and one princess says to the other princess, "Hey, do you know what it's called when two princesses kiss?" And she says, "Princessed, LOL."
Wow.
And is that the title of the game, Princessed?
Or Scissors? Scissor Sisters?
And then one of them
That's
gets
a real band.
One of them gets kidnapped by bees, and then she
bees.
Has to go rescue the other princess.
Like really sexy, hot, giant bees, or just like tiny bees?
And that's like the stock bees that were available in RPG Maker.
The pre-title sequence of, "Hey, do you know what it's called? It's called Princessed, lol." And then bees, "Help me." The title, Princessed RPG. It's like, yes, I'm in. I want to know what happens.
I would play that. Yeah. If that's exactly how the game started, could you imagine with like a AAA budget?
Yeah.
Like the graphics.
This is the greatest game
power,
I've ever seen.
Like full graphics, everything.
They had the guts to do it.
Yeah. Finally, a Square Enix presents
Princessed.
How much in association with DreamWorks.
We're just gonna keep listening to Brandon say more stuff.
All right, no, I'm done. I think we've all talked about. Did you talk about
narrates the opening credits?
No, he didn't.
No, that's what Cap was trying to transition into. Yeah. But I don't have like a really thought out like story for a game, but I
don't think any of us do. It's okay.
Are you kidding? I don't have any sort of story. I have like a game type that I would want, but I don't really have a game world envisioned for it, I suppose. But I really like MMOs. One that I used to play like a ton, like my entry level drug, if you will, was Ultima Online. And that game had a lot of mechanics in it that haven't made it to other MMOs.
Yeah,
at least not in a way that I have been satisfied with. They tried to make like a couple of sequels to that game, but it never happened because they have just been able to milk the original one. I think ultimately the goal for any MMO is probably to take it in sort of a dot hack or Sword Art Online, sort of like virtual reality, live in a world and, you know,
are you
somebody
about
completely
in
different.
The premise or actually actualizing that technology?
The technology.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, obviously I'm not like hoping for some sort of a like really bad incident to happen.
We would all love that technology.
Yeah.
So I can escape reality for good. Yeah.
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the ideal MMO would be like put on a helmet and all
put
of a sudden you're in
gloves.
Another world and you can interact with other people and, you know, be a different person.
Second life.
But in the interim, since we don't really have that great of technology yet, just a really upgraded modern MMO. EverQuest Next was another MMO that I had my eye on that got axed. And that was supposed to be like a really big, like living world where the AI would actually like rove around in camps, and if they took over a region, they would be there for a while, and you could actually like run monsters out of a region like by just killing them off. And you could create, like, you make buildings, or you could destroy them. Like, it was a fully destructible world. But just implementing features like that.
And thanks, Warcraft.
Yeah, I was going to I didn't want to say it. I was like, I'm pretty sure they destroyed MMOs for the next 50
Right, and that's years. The problem is that even though I love World of Warcraft, every other MMO is like
it's
a bad copy.
It's a complete clone, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and
anything that tries to do something differently doesn't get the money to do it.
Yeah, they either don't get the money to do it, or if they do get a reasonable amount of money, it ends up just being like a crappy copy.
Dark Age of Camelot was like one of my favorites. The stories I have from that game. That and Nexus, Korean RPGs were the best.
Nexus, man. Korean MMOs. Kill them squirrels.
Like, even Asheron's Call, the original one, had some strange mechanics that haven't ever made it into any other games. So I guess I would just want to take like the best bits of other MMOs and create some sort of a new one.
A fresh take, as opposed to just a copy of World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
they took like a lot of chances back in the day. A lot of exploration, a lot of unique and diverse. Like, tried something new every time, and it made the world crazy and huge and innovative. And then Warcraft comes around, and it all became like streamlined and mainstream. Yeah.
The only thing close to the MMOs of yore that still exists is Eve. That's it.
What about Star Wars Galaxies?
Star Wars Galaxies tried that. Someone built a house on the edge of the server and it crashed.
Yeah.
There are retro servers for Star Wars Galaxies operational right now.
There are for Nexus.
People
too.
Are rebuilding stuff, and there are for Nexus for real.
Yeah, there's a it's just as laggy as you remember it, even with good network connection on purpose.
Well, I mean, you can still play Ultima Online too, because they're still charging $14 a month to play it.
There's more than one Ultima Online, isn't there? There's like the 3D one that I played, and then
there's two different clients for the same game. There's a 3D client and then there's a 2D
there was
client.
One where so you can actually have to type to, it took me 5 hours to figure out how to get to a shop because you have to like actually type hello and then they answer you.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous. There was no instructions.
That's Ultima Online. Yeah, if you go to a bank you have to shout bank.
I couldn't figure out for 5 hours how to use a spell, how to talk to anyone. It was great.
Have to go around and you have to collect reagents and have them in your bag, and
I would just shout hello and like someone would run by and no one would stop to talk to me, and I was like, are you real or an NPC?
In that game you could, anything that was in your bag, a thief could look through your bag and attempt to steal.
What? Like, or real people? Or just...
Yeah, real people. And if you got killed...
Is that why I always lost all my items?
Everything was lootable. Anything in your bag, all of the armor that you were wearing...
Well, the guards kept killing me because they kept hitting the like attack button on them.
That means that you were probably breaking
the
law.
You're a murderer.
I don't know.
Which is another thing.
I started the game and I'm just
ignorance
like there.
Ignorance does not excuse the crime.
That's one of the things game that hasn't made it to other games is a proper like law system, because if you were in town you could, and you broke a law, anybody could attack you.
It's also a LARPing system, because it's not just point and click on an NPC. You literally have to type and pretend you're in their world, which is cool, but I didn't know that when I first started. And I was
couldn't tell how strong another person was just by looking at them, because anybody can put on any armor, anybody can pick up any weapon.
In real life you can't do that.
Exactly. Well, but they don't have like, nobody has levels, but they could be really good at, you know, like swordsmanship or some other skill.
Or they've already stolen, They've already stolen your weapon. So
that's
you
true.
Can't even,
I mean, that was a technique. Like,
I'm gonna attack you and you pull out nothing.
You could disarm somebody and then steal their weapon out of their bag and then start running after them with their weapon.
I want to do that now.
I mean,
for $14.99 a month.
It's just moments like that haven't been translated properly into new MMOs.
No,
at
not
all.
Because here's why. It's too risky, and people at the first sign of getting something stolen, they would whine and complain.
Well,
and
actually,
post.
That even happened in Ultima Online, because they created a parallel world on top of it where you could travel between like the old land and the new land. Cool. And if you're in the new land, you couldn't be attacked or have anything stolen and stuff like that, at least by other players. But that really dumbed it down, because then people would just hang out in the new world and nobody went to the old world. And if you went there, you were pretty much guaranteed to be victimized.
In World of Warcraft, I know that if you didn't get your weapon, or you spent 20 hours doing this dungeon over and over and then someone else got this weapon somehow, there would be bloody murder. So
Here's hoping that Star Citizen sort of brings in a new take.
What's
on
Star Citizen?
I don't know. Their ambitions for that game are really, really, really high, and
I'm just going to play the new.
I don't know how they're going
to
do it.
I don't know if they're
going
to be able to pull it off.
They are making a new.
I'm all for it if they do.
Elite Dangerous for PS4 Pro only.
What's PS4 Pro?
What's the new PS4 that I have?
It's the fancier PS4.
It's got the 4K version. It's got a like a
more graphics and processing power.
That's like the better Sega processor. Genesis.
It loads games
twice
whatever.
As yep, fast. Pretty yeah. much.
Okay. It works really well though. But if you put an old game in, it loads twice as fast. But anyway, they're making Elite Dangerous, which I never played, which sounds like a really, really, really cool open kind of space world environment.
I will tell you this: I played Elite Dangerous. I bought it on one of the Steam sales because it was like, I don't know, 40% off or something, and I played it for about like an hour and a half, and I decided that I was going to return the game.
Why?
Because Steam like has a 2-hour window where you can just return a game and
get not
because
you
refund.
Hated it, but
no. But in that hour and a half, I couldn't even figure out how to get my ship away from like the first
but
area.
But you love that type of game. You played Ultima.
No, like it. The ship controls are so detailed. Like you have to like make sure your thrusters are switched on. And
well, they're
like,
making
make sure
it
all
for
this
the
other stuff
console
happens.
Controller now. So I kind of wonder how that is going
to
work.
Yeah, I think there's ways to dumb it down or whatever. But like, just the default controls with keyboard and mouse are just really complicated. And a lot of the complaints
checklist.
Well, it's just everything that I thought.
A lot of the complaints that I read about it was that just that there's like huge amounts of time waiting while you're traveling, and then
like space
and. It seemed really repetitive. Like a lot of it is collecting minerals and then selling them.
Well, I like that
like
it has
that.
The aspects of No Man's Sky that I thought No Man's Sky would have. Like you could be a turd farmer in space forever, or you can be a pirate and grab people or land on planets.
Aren't we all turd farmers?
So, like, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that is one that I've wanted to love, but my first impression of it was just kind of like, I don't know, this is pretty complicated.
Okay. So. Guys, anyone else feel really dizzy and swimming after all that dew? I feel a little hot. Do I have a fever?
No, I drink too much soda anyway. So
I think I need more dew.
Now is the time to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. This is going to be a long episode. We've had too much fun.
What's happening to my brain right now? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Here, have some more.
Nope.
Well, you can keep it short by not saying too much because I didn't see it. No spoilers.
There's going to be no spoilers for the squeakquel.
I don't know what my mouth is going to say if it's a spoiler or not.
Alvin, Simon, and Theodore crawl inside Dave's mouth while he's sleeping.
And everybody comes. So, you know, it's in the works, guys.
Everybody comes is a educational book that I started writing this morning.
So anyway, when he didn't sleep,
why are you gonna throw that out there and not tell anybody what it is?
Just let it go. People don't need to know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It was an idea I had in the shower.
We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I've had too much caffeine. Howard the Duck, wonderful.
Hickory Dickory Duck, he ain't about to be plucked, too groovy for gravy, too precious for pate. He's a funky little feather-bearing waterfowl.
All right. Yeah, that was the theme song.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is a lot of fun.
It's the first movie and more ever. Of it. And yeah, it's just like the first movie, but there's more of it. Like, it's a long movie.
It is very, very, very long movie.
But also the previews were 30 minutes.
When in the trailers, I haven't extensively watched the most recent trailers, but you see a lot of clips from stuff at the beginning and a lot of clips from stuff at the very, very end, and not a lot of the middle. I didn't know what the movie was about. Ultimately, it is about Peter Quill discovering who his father was, and he is played by Kurt Russell, which I assume most people have heard, at least.
In the trailer, so.
There's lots of cool effects, cool characters, funny jokes. It does suffer from a pretty severe degree of sequelitis in that you get...
The very first scene, I rolled my eyes a bit, because there's just like... Everyone's like, oh, dancing Groot from the first movie. So they just play that up a little bit.
Baby Groot was adorable in the first film. Baby Groot has turned into a marketing sensation. Baby Groot made Disney a ton of money when the first film came out. So this film was full of Baby Groot. And eventually I actually got to the point where I was like, oh, I see. Baby Groot actually has performed a function as being this like different version of a character later on in the movie. Because it is like having a baby there. And he's sort of a different character. But I mean, so if you've seen the trailer, there's a scene where the Guardians are on this like pedestal thing that's circular, and they're fighting a big tentacle beast with lots of teeth.
Wrath-tar.
A Wrath-tar, basically. So you've seen the Wrath-tar, but what you haven't seen is that the entire battle is happening mostly out of focus in the background while Baby Groot dances to Electric Light Orchestra.
For like the entire.
which is cute, but... is just sort of a physical embodiment of how, I see. This movie is actually full of charm, but is also going to hinder that charm by pandering to me and explaining the jokes too much. So the film will do things that are like genuinely really funny, and then it'll sort of tell you why it's funny. I'm like, guys, I got it. It was a good joke, and now you've sort of fucked up your joke. And I like you, but you're trying too hard. And the film was not overly damaged by this, but it was filled with it, and it's just a shame because most of it was working, and it didn't need to try as hard as it was. Because you got a great cast, you have fun characters, and you have cool environments, neat shit happening. The ensemble grows bigger. I like Mantis in the comics. I like Mantis in the film. I wasn't sure why they were doing more Yondu. That was totally earned. And he gets his fin from the comics, like the actual swoopy mohawk fin, which I was very pleased about.
Oh, yeah.
And Kurt Russell's
now, when they're
fun dude.
When they're unnecessarily explaining jokes, is it at least Drax doing it?
Well, I mean, like, when it's, like, on the nose, I mean, some of it, yeah.
Like, we get Drax's jokes, right? We understand the premise of Drax's character. We know what worked about him in the original film. So imagine a version of the humor of Drax where they don't use it sparingly enough, and they're like, you can call it before it's about to happen. Someone will say something, Drax will take it weird, and it'll be, like, even weirder than Drax normally would have taken it, or, like, it's almost always sexual for some reason, and they've basically hurt the joke of Drax's character in this film.
Gotcha.
Not unrecoverable, just not well done. And there's also, there's some amazing effects, but then also there's a lots of sequences that take place, that were just filmed in green screen environments where they just don't look good. So particle effects will be great, but if someone's standing around in like a landscape that clearly wasn't there, it just doesn't look great.
There was one really cool shot where they panned out that I really liked. I'm not going to spoil it, obviously.
There's plenty of cool parts, but there's just, it's a lovely film. It's lots of fun. If you like the first one, you'll like this one, but they did sort of dilute it a bit, and it feels like a sequel.
Well, I mean, it is a sequel,
but it isn't. But a sequel doesn't have to feel like a sequel. It can feel episodic. Empire Strikes Back doesn't feel like a sequel. It feels like a great standalone film where you just happen to already know the characters.
Gunn did say that it's a 3-movie story, and then that's it for them. So like they're gonna have a volume 3, and then no more of those characters. Really? That's what he says. He said there might be a volume 4, but their story arc ends in 3. And
well, his contract probably.
Well, no. He said like that's how it was being done. Like their story concludes those characters in volume 3, definitely. In volume 4, there may be a volume 4, but it won't be the same crew because they do allude to
Is he gonna keep finding new cassette tapes from his mom?
There's a really funny joke about that in there that we're not gonna spoil.
Okay.
But the cassette does get really heavy handed, much like their interpretation of Drax's comedy also. It's just too much.
It's his only lifeline to Earth. It's important.
I know it's important, but like
it was such a success for the first movie, they double downed on it when they
There's
didn't
a
have
scene
to.
Where Rocket's like, hey, do you have any of Quill's music? And then there's no need for it. I thought it was going to be a distraction. It wasn't a distraction. Rocket just likes it now, I guess, but they never go into it. So it seems more like, hey, we want to play a song, but we want all the music to seem like it's somewhat environmental. So we're going to have Rocket say that. I don't know. It was like, it's a fun film. I'm not.
Did or did it not Ooga your chakras?
Ugh. Chakras were
actually
Ooga'd in an unpleasant way, but not that I mean, I still love these characters. I still had a lot of fun.
Who's saying that song?
I know it sounds like I'm nitpicking here, but really I just, it's so close to it hurt itself. It's just, it's being that uncomfortable person at a party who is trying too goddamn hard.
I liked
and it
didn't the movie
because you thought they were cool already.
I liked the movie, and there's a lot of guest stars and things that they've set up for movies that may happen much later.
No shortage of cool shit.
Is there a Stan Lee cameo?
It is the best Stan Lee cameo.
You said that before about other
Stan
Lee
cameos.
No,
this is the best Stan Lee cameo.
The only other thing that holds a candle to this is how well done that first Amazing Spider-Man cameo was with where he's got the headphones on and all that fight's happening. But contextually, this one is a sheer delight. It could be and maybe is, I don't know, the last one because it's so good.
I heard that
it won't be the last
Marvel
one unless he dies.
Actually,
they filmed like 4 more.
Said that fan theory about his character was true.
That he's a watcher?
Yes.
It's I do not want to say anything more about it, but there are fragments of what you just said that are not inaccurate. However, that statement at face value is not true.
Wait, but
you'll have to see the movie.
You'll have to see it.
You'll have to see it.
Just have to see it.
Oh, but so they touch on that a little bit in the movie?
Is there fragments of what you said have some kind of a basis more, I guess in it'd be a things spoiler, that but happen.
Okay. Yes. So, all right, that's, okay. I'm intrigued.
I read that before Guardians came out, so...
No, that was, that's been a theory since, like...
No, fucking, not the theory, you know, but that they were actually confirming it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And Jimmy Urine's in this movie, guys, so that was cool.
Oh, yes!
Yes.
I mean, heard about that.
He doesn't
that.
Do much, but he's great.
I regret to inform that Jimmy Urine is tragically underutilized in this film.
He doesn't get to talk,
Jimmy
really.
Urine, the frontman for Mindless Self-Indulgence and Left Rights, which is just another version of Mindless Self-Indulgence. He's a really fun dude. Great to see on screen. He basically has no lines. He's just kind of a lead background crony. And it's a...
Does he kind of just sneak up and hit you like a fucking tornado?
Would that he did, but it's more just fun to see him on screen in the background. Like, oh, there's Jimmy Urine. Oh, there he is again. Okay, cool. I had such high hopes when they announced that he was in it.
But yeah, he doesn't get to really
speak. They didn't really use him.
There'd be a scene where he'd be like, bitches love me because they know that I can rock, and then like keep walking, but he didn't say anything.
And or Rock would be like, and why else the bitches love you?
Yeah,
and
exactly. Like, yeah.
And he starts to open his mouth, and then
because they know that I can rhyme. Yeah, I mean, I would have died if that happened. I don't know if anyone else in the theater
throughout
would have gotten
the quadrants.
I mean, it makes fucking sense. Why wouldn't they do it?
Wait, is Jan Michael Vincent in it? You said quadrants.
No,
I just instead of projects.
Oh,
because you know,
oh,
this went over my head.
It's Jan Michael Vincent
space.
Cameo.
Anyway, there's a bunch of cameos and characters from the actual comics and stuff that I didn't know who were until I looked up after.
There's some deep cuts.
So I didn't want to. I don't want to spoil it, but. It's definitely you should see it because it's great. And there's one more.
Is the Hulk in it?
No. I'll tell you.
No, it was a great trailer about it.
I was excited for the possibility of having some kind of crossover with the Hulk film in here. If there is, it is extraordinarily subtle, and there's no after credits.
So subtle,
scene
you're not even sure.
Pertaining to
was Jeff Goldblum in this movie? I'm not going to tell you, Doug.
I didn't ask you.
I'm just saying.
But okay. there's no concrete connective tissue of any kind.
I just want to know how the Hulk got in outer space.
I guess we'll find out in Thor Ragnarok.
Okay. It's all, you know.
There's going to be a 15-minute Pixar animated short before the movie of Hulk going into
space.
Dude,
I would love to see a Pixar Hulk film.
I would. Like, just going to have giant
eyes. I would trust them. I would trust them to do it.
They're just going to make him look really cute. And then something sad happens. And then at the end of the day, he's conquered it.
No, they didn't make Wreck-It Ralph. That was Disney.
The Hulk buys a cat and then has this whole emotional
where there's like a bird
thing with the cat for a long period of time. It makes you cry at the end.
Growing up, I had an issue of the Hulk magazine, which is Marvel did comics magazines in the late 70s, early 80s. And they were generally a little bit more adult. My parents did not realize this. There is a story where I believe a heroin addict falls in love with the Hulk because he's the only man who's treated her right. He just like she finds him and he's like he's
with the Hulk or Bruce Banner.
The Hulk.
Ooh, okay.
Eventually, like because he's just a big dumb monster, like right. And she's like, everyone treats me bad, but you don't treat me bad, baby. And he's like, because Hulk is actually quite gentle. The problem is people try to attack him. You
right.
know?
He says
and
that when he has
he's
sex.
He's provoked from anger.
Hulk right, smash. Right.
And I hope so.
Smash it and bang it.
And then she dies from an overdose in it. And like, and Bruce Banner just kind of wakes up and he's like, oh God, what the fuck happened?
Can we?
It was great.
Can we talk about the worst part of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for a second?
Let's do. What is it?
The fucking Marvel logo. It was the worst thing. I mean, there's nothing more to say. It
Marvel
keeps getting
Studios
worse
has
and
updated
worse.
Updated their logo. It's not just a cool.
Their head is super
of,
inflated, and they're going to crash and burn really hard at some point. Mm. So.
It's
like 2 minutes long.
They wrote an original piece of music for it.
The logo.
Yes.
They now pan through not really much comic pages at all, but actual stills from their own films.
Ooh,
it's a long time.
It's not great. It's just. The comics thing was actually really fun and iconic and made me feel good, but in this one is too long.
It's like,
and
we're Marvel. Look at this. We made these movies that made us so much
welcome
money.
To the it's like, welcome to the cinematic universe, suckers. Yeah, it's time to party.
If it said that, I would fucking love it, actually.
It's like, from the studio who brought you Iron Man. Start Iron Man 2.
Start rubbing
Thor. Iron Man 3.
Thor 2.
Thor.
Dancing Thor Baby Groot.
Yeah.
Start they rubbing your nubbins. You're about to see a Marvel movie.
Avengers 2.
Gleep Glop.
Captain America. Just list all of them.
Spend some goddamn
honestly,
money.
Doug.
Spend
Doug,
some goddamn
the way they were showing the scenes, that is exactly what they fucking did, but without words. It was really annoying.
Let's remind you of why you're here.
Yeah. I was like, guys, I fucking get it.
I'm the voice of THX.
We make other movies, just so you know.
BTW.
There should be one scene where it's just Batman and then there's a big X over it.
You don't like this.
And then just like... Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, moving
on. It's time to end the episode.
Well, I got one more thing to say before that.
Oh,
what do you really got? Quick. No, because it's never really rather quick important. With you. It will be. Okay. So we got a Hulu account because we read that book a long time ago, Handmaid's Tale.
For an episode of Nerdy Show Book Club, which hasn't come out due exclusively to my fault.
And it's extremely relevant. Anyway, so the show came out, and I'm always skeptical when someone adapts a book, you know, like the Harry Potter movies. They made a show, and it is friggin' phenomenal. It is more disturbing and uncomfortable than it was to read the book. It is more upsetting than Game of Thrones, and it is very relevant. And there's some really, really cool things. The use of a Blondie song, which I won't spoil, but it's like done amazingly.
Interesting.
It is a very powerful and fucked up show. So if anyone has access to Hulu, I know you do, Boar.
Yeah. I've been watching a new Hulu show that I'll briefly plug.
Well, the thing it's so messed up. Well, I just want to say the reason it's so messed up is because
brief thing is not hold on. Longer.
The reason why A Handmaid's Tale is so fucked up is because I am cynical and I can picture it's so close to reality that you're like, what's the point in our world that'll tip us to this thing? I can see it happening if something happens. So, but anyway, Boar.
Yeah, I've got a really brief one for people that have Hulu. There's a show called The Good Place. It's got Ted Danson, Kristen Bell is the lead. And it's, in a nutshell, Kristen Bell dies. She goes
Spoilers.
This is the first episode. It's the whole premise for the show, Brandon. She dies. She goes to heaven. And it's a comedy about her, how she's not supposed to be in heaven. Like, she got mixed up with somebody with the same name. And she got put into that person's version of heaven. So everything that surrounds her is this other person, and
is it like what dreams may come, but it's not their heaven. Yeah. It's like somebody
basically,
else's.
Yeah, and she's trying to not tip anybody off that she should really be in hell, and it's a hilarious show, and I highly recommend it.
Remember the time Bill and Ted jumped people in heaven and took
the Good Place on Hulu and I believe NBC or ABC or something.
And for the counterpoint to that show, watch Your Pretty Faces Going to Hell on Adult Swim.
Also, Star vs. the Forces of Evil is friggin' great. Moving on.
We'll talk about Star at length more at a later date, and I promise I will get that episode of Book Club out as soon as humanly possible. There's just too much shit going on. Life is a pandemonium. Taking us out is a little bit of pandering from Kirby Crackle. This is Dancing Baby Groot. I mean, it's a great song, and Dancing Baby Groot was awesome the first time it happened. So have some more, everybody. This is from his 2015 record, Mutate Baby, Dancing Baby Groot by Kirby Crackle.
I've seen dogs in the summertime lying on the grass in the sun. I've seen cats hidden ivory keys. I've seen heroes drawn by Scotty Young. I've looked up, I've looked down, I look all around, but nothing that I find can compare to the time that I stuck through the credit scenes. Saw you moving, shaking up there. Cause I never seen nothing as cute as a dancing baby group. So play the Jackson 5 if you feel alive, and get the whole world dancing with you. Cause I never seen nothing as cute as a baby group. You never say a lot. In fact, I find it's only three words. And the times that you eat yourself, tell me how does that never hurt? I look left, I look right, I can't sleep at night. The thought of you, it won't leave my head. From the time that I stuck through the credit scenes, just when we all thought you were dead. Cause I never seen nothing as cute as a dancing baby groove. So play the Jackson 5 if you feel alive, get the whole world dancing with you. Cause I've never seen nothing as cute as a baby Groot. We'd have so much fun together. I keep your pot safe and I bring you water. I dance into the music every night. I help you grow up big and strong. I take you back to space where you belong. And you'd always have a friend. I stuck credit scenes, and everything was leading to you. 'Cause I never seen nothing as cute as a dancing baby groove. So play the Jackson 5 if you feel alive. Get the whole world dancing with you. 'Cause I never seen nothing as cute. No, I never seen nothing as cute. 'Cause I never seen nothing as cute as a baby Groot.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.